Good morning and welcome to worship. It's good to see you here today, and welcome to those who are joining us online. I think Derek's got one or two intimations.
Yes, good morning and welcome from me too. Welcome to everyone, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor, and welcome to Catch this morning too. An important notice: we have our stated annual meeting after worship this morning, and that's a chance for you all to quiz the elders and the minister about what's been going on and what's going to be going on, an opportunity to ask questions. And we're going to have tea and coffees as well, just as an encouragement. So if you can stay for that, then please do. And there is a coffee morning next Saturday, 10 a.m. till noon. Please come along and please tell everyone you meet that that is on. And I think there's still a list for helpers if you can help with the running of the day. Walking group is out next Sunday afternoon, and this time it's Townhill Loch with the usual coffee stop. We'll meet in the car park here at 2 p.m. just to make sure we've got cars and transport for everyone. Tomorrow night there's a charity concert at St Leonard's Church. That's with the Queen Anne Singers, together with Ivor Clayman and Christopher Livingston. And there are tickets at the door, or you can contact St Leonard's. There's a suggested donation of £10, but there's refreshments provided. Now, before I come to the last one, this was mentioned last week from the platform here. There's a petition being drawn up. This is to support a grant application that we have made for the refurbishment of the manse next door. And the grant provider needs to know that the village, the parish, supports the application. So we're trying to gather signatures. If you would like to add your name to that, it will be in the vestibule. There's another sheet there at the moment, but I'll put this one back too. So please sign that if you'd like to see the manse refurbished. And that's, well, Doug can tell you all that's involved in that. Yeah, just windows and doors and things. Thank you. So finally, yes, there are other intimations on the sheet, and you, if you don't have a copy, for those in Zoom, that can be got on Facebook or from the website. Thank you.
So let's worship God. We're going to sing to God's praise and glory, hymn number 189, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord.
Come and be for it now with rest.
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, we ask you to bless all that we give of our time, talent, and money as we dedicate these gifts to your glory. Here is a token of our love for you and our desire to serve you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Here's a wee question. What's special about today? Now there was a bit of quiet. I'll give you a hint. It's to do with the date.
May the 4th.
It's May the 4th and?
May the 4th
be with you. Yeah? Star Wars Day. So I actually said that to Karen earlier today for another reason, because I thought it was somebody's birthday today, and I knew somebody had said it was on May the 4th. So, any Star Wars fans? Okay. Star Trek fans?
Yes.
Okay, right. If it was a choice between the two, who's a Trekkie and who's... right, so prefer Star Trek?
Yeah.
Prefer Star Wars? Right, okay, got that sorted out. What do you like best about Star Wars? It's a difficult question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're focusing on the young man. That's where the girls might have something to say.
I don't think they said they preferred Star Trek or Star Wars.
Leia's delighted that she was named after Princess Leia.
I think that might have been the fault of some of your family. That's the one thing you don't get to choose. And you know my problem with name? Well, I am the original boy called Sue, which you might know there's a song about that. And the reason I'm the original boy called Sue is that my parents were sure that their first child would be a girl. And I'm not. So they had a girl's name chosen and no boy's name. And what they told me was they thought, well, what are we going to call him? And they thought, oh, we'll just use his dad's name. So for my early years, I was wee Norman. And my dad was quite happy to be big Norman. But then I grew to the same size as him. And I was quite happy, and still quite happy if you want to call me young Norman. But my dad wasn't quite so happy to be old Norman. Anyway, get away from all of those things. Star Wars, yeah, may the 4th be with you. You know, it'd be really nice if you could do all those strange things, you know, like when you can't reach something, you just go, and there it would be. And we watch a lot of these things because of the spectacular, and I take it do you like things with all the special effects in films? Not really. Yeah, it's maybe a boy thing, you know. Maybe this what I'm saying is just maybe not aimed the right way. Anyway, I love watching all these things. I like working out how they do all the special effects as well. I know, I'm a bit kind of geeky at times. But there we go. But all of these spectacular things, and we watch it and we say, wow. And of course, at the moment, we are in what is in church, usually sometimes referred to as the season of Easter. And that means that Easter has taken place and Pentecost hasn't happened yet. And those weeks are known as the season of Easter, when in church we're talking about the resurrection. And of course, when we watch all these things on sci-fi, we go, that'll never happen. Although, just occasionally, when science kind of catches up, it does. But we know it's just special effects and it's not real. And of course, the disciples were no different from us. So when people said, "We've seen Jesus," there's a good Scottish phrase, "Aye, right. I'm not going to believe that." And we're going to have another resurrection story today. People just couldn't believe. And what they needed was not something spectacular. The resurrection is spectacular. But they needed to know that Jesus was really there. And so Jesus, at times, he says, "Okay, touch me. You'll see that I'm here." And in the story today, we have Jesus eating a bit of fish. And what was spectacular in the story was not the wow, but the ordinary. Because the ordinary said that Jesus was really there. He wasn't just, well, they thought they were seeing a ghost. But he was really there with them. And that's what we celebrate in church. And what was said in here, just before Easter, when we had the primary school in for their Easter assembly, the first child who stood up to speak told us that Easter was the most important festival in the Christian church, and that for Christians, Easter is the most important thing there is. And that is good for us to remember in church, that our faith is an Easter faith, that Jesus lived and he died and he rose again for us. So there's some things to think about. It was actually the ordinary that turned out to be the spectacular when people met Jesus risen from the dead. Now we're going to sing, and since I don't have my bit of paper, I'm hoping it's going to come up on screen to tell me.
443.
It will. There you are. 443. He is Lord. He is Lord. Let's worship God now in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for bringing us to this place here today. We think of the different places that we have come from, carrying so many things with us. Joys, worries, hopes, questions. In this moment, we pause and open ourselves to your presence. As we worship, remind us of why we are here. To lift up the name of Jesus. To remember that the one who died did so for us. And that his resurrection is for our salvation. We know that Jesus is worthy of all praise. That he is worthy of our trust and worthy of our lives. Our prayer is that you will transform us today, that you will renew our minds so that we see the world through your eyes. Soften our hearts where they have grown hard and fill them with your love. Shape our lives so that everything that we do points to your grace and your goodness. We thank you that you challenge us and comfort us and change us. For it is your will that we become more Christ-like in how we live and how we love, how we serve and how we react to others. Help us to know the love of Christ at the very heart of our being. We know that we are not perfect. We know our need of forgiveness. We know that we have thought and done and said things that harm us, harm others, and most of all, hurt you, our God. So we ask you to hear us now as we take a quiet moment to lay down our burden of sin and grief, to confess before you, seeking your forgiveness. Loving and forgiving God, as we accept your forgiving and healing touch, enable us to leave behind the wrongs of the past and go forward in the strength of the Spirit. By your Holy Spirit, guide us. By the presence of Jesus, encourage us. To the glory of the Father, use us. And now, in the words that Jesus taught his disciples, we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now our reading for today. We're going to read one of the resurrection stories from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Derek is going to read for us.
Our passage follows on from the Emmaus Road story, which the disciples have been discussing. So we read from Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Amen. May God bless this reading of his word.
We sing now hymn number 425, The Saviour Died But Rose Again. During last week, I noticed that there was a TV programme advertised as being about VE Day. There was in that TV programme a fair bit of archive footage from the war in Europe. More importantly, the voices of those who had served during the war were remembered and we heard from them. These very elderly people, as they had to be, because these were people who had been in uniform on VE Day itself. But they had photographs of themselves, and you could see what they had looked like. They were very young, probably in their late teens, or perhaps just 20. And they talked about how they had been changed. Changed by what they had seen and experienced. This was not just what they saw, but also what they had been asked to do. We are well aware of how important it is to hear the voices of those who were there at times like that. In a very few years, we will not be able to hear those voices. We will not have that opportunity. The four Gospels of the New Testament are collected stories of Jesus' life. Many scholars believe that the Gospels were written in response to the diminishing number of disciples and followers of Jesus who had actually seen him, heard him, and touched him, who had known him in the flesh. In the accounts of Jesus' death and resurrection, there are differences in what is remembered in terms of detail. What we have are witness statements from those who were there at an unforgettable moment, but they remember different things. There are conflicting details. That said, what is remembered vividly is what they saw and how they felt. Listening to those who were part of the British forces on VE Day had a striking similarity to the tone that we pick up in the gospel accounts of Easter. And it is that difference between memory and history. Back in the 1970s, my dad decided that he would take a night school course in modern studies. It was a higher, and in that higher class at night school, there were quite a lot of youngsters who were trying to pick up on what they had failed to do at school. No doubt they were in a place where they were told they needed a higher if they were going to progress in whatever. And so, one teenager in this class had approached my dad at the end and said, well, my dad had the same name as me, which we've already pointed out, said, Norman, how come you know all that history? And my dad, being my dad, aye, well, son, for me, it's no history. I remember it as it happened. These were times that he had lived through. The gospel writers are very clear that their intent is not that we should know about Jesus. Their intent is that we know Jesus. Most of all, that we know Jesus crucified, risen, ascended, and glorified. The Easter story is not a history lesson, nor should we get caught up in the different theologies that seek to dissect and explain the cross and resurrection. Not that history and theology are unimportant. We are meant to know and to think and to understand. But knowing Jesus is more important. In the days following Jesus' resurrection, and as Jesus explained that what they were part of was God's plan of salvation, a passage from the prophet Isaiah about God's suffering servant must have often come to mind. Isaiah wrote, there were many who were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. What the disciples and friends of Jesus had witnessed firsthand was Jesus disfigured beyond any human being, and his form marred beyond any human likeness. In the mind of the people and in their understanding, to be crucified was actually to be a non-person. Someone who was crucified was somebody who was a non-person in terms of earth and heaven. Completely abandoned by humanity, completely abandoned by God. It is often noted that the place of crucifixion in the time of the Roman Empire took place where it was public, usually at a main road out or in and out of a town or city. But more than that, it very often was placed near where the rubbish from the city or town was dumped. And that's because when someone was crucified, very often the body was simply dumped because they were no longer a human being. Joseph of Arimathea, with courage and compassion, had prevented that end. Nevertheless, Jesus was disfigured and marred. He could not be standing in their midst offering the normal human greeting of Shalom Aleichem. Peace be with you. The disciples never forgot their fear and disbelief. What was in their minds, we don't know. It is recorded that they thought they were seeing a ghost. Perhaps a spirit returned to remind them of their failure and complicity in the demise of Jesus. An evil spirit as a result of their failure before God. And Jesus, in their midst, says, "See, touch, know that he is alive and physically present." And in the midst of the wonder of this moment, the wonder of resurrection, what do they remember? The ordinary and the mundane. Jesus asks for something to eat. Whoever told this story that Luke records was obviously struck by it. There, in their presence, Jesus eats a bit of broiled fish. Perhaps it was the incongruity of such a mundane act in the midst of what was the most astounding moment in their lives. If crucifixion had been a shock, resurrection was even more of a surprise. We're told that Jesus goes on to explain why he had to suffer and then be raised on the third day. He refers to the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And Luke records that Jesus opened their minds to the scriptures. As I read that, preparing for this service, what really struck me was goodness. You know, if I'd been asking you to put something down, I want to know which bits of the law, which bits of the prophets, which of the Psalms. I'd be interested in knowing the theology in there. Not that he ate a bit of fish. But that's obviously what was remembered, because it said Jesus is really there. And maybe it was something to do with the difficulty that the disciples had in grasping the idea of resurrection. Maybe it was because this had proved to be such a problem as they went out with the gospel. As they went from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, as Luke will record in his second book, The Acts of the Apostles. The sticking point for many who first heard the gospel back in the first century and up to this present day is Jesus' death and resurrection. His teaching, fine. There's great teaching there. But that he should have been crucified and that he came back from the grave. In every generation, folk have looked at that as a kind of nonsense. How can you believe in that? And in the stories of resurrection, it's very clear that Jesus again and again proved that he was really there. To know what Jesus taught is important. To know Jesus as Savior is vital. Easter is not the final act of the gospel story. It is the heart of the Christian faith. And that little quotation from Timothy Keller: "The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead." And as the kids in church said before Easter at their Easter assembly, the most important moment for the Christian is Easter, and Easter is death and resurrection. Jesus died for us and rose for us. And yes, it is important to know about teaching and history, and knowledge is good. But everything hangs on whether or not he rose from the dead. Amen. And now, for those of us who know that Jesus did indeed die and rose again on the third day and is ascended and glorified, as those who know that Jesus came as the Saviour of all, that he died for the sake of this world, we offer our prayers for the world and for those in need today. Let us pray. God of love and compassion, we take a moment now to reach out in prayer to this world of which we are part, to this world for which Jesus died. In a week when many will remember the end of war in Europe 80 years ago, we pray for a world that still does not know peace. We pray for nations and peoples, for those who suffer from violence, fear, and prejudice. We remember before you places where nation is turned upon nation and people upon people, where acts of war are used as political tools and power is sought by force of arms. With sadness, we confess that the pictures of destruction from 1945 are repeated in our own time, that stories of brutality and inhumanity are not limited to past times, but happen in the world today. We think and pray for the people of Ukraine and Russia, for the Israeli and Palestinian peoples, for the different peoples of Syria, the factions in Sudan, the broken nation of Myanmar, and so many other places in our world. We long for peace on earth and pray that you will strengthen the peacemakers. In this world of uncertainty, we think of strained relationships between nations as the great economic powers vie for supremacy. And all too often, the rich seeking more and forgetting the poor. We think of those who are most likely to pay the price in this battle for wealth and influence. Too often, the vulnerable and the poor suffering at the hands of the rich and powerful. We long for a world that is a fairer place for all. Our prayer is that you will strengthen those who work for justice and who show responsibility in the use of the resources of this earth. As much as we pray for other nations, so we pray for our own, remembering the need of our leaders to have your guidance in the use of power, wealth, and influence. We think of the changes in local government in England and what that means, not just for that part of the UK, but for the whole country. Our prayer is that you will guide those in leadership, in council chamber and in parliament, to put political party second to the needs of the people. And for those elected to represent us, that they remember all of the people and put that above political dogma. In this week, we have had reminders of how dependent we are upon the technology of our time. So we remember those who ensure our energy safety and supply, and all the others who are responsible for the things that we know are the necessities of life. We also remember those who are responsibility, whose responsibility is for the safety of our online information and for the data systems that contain so much of our lives in these days. And in the world and in our nation, we remember our place as your people. In this season of Easter, when we remember that Jesus died for us and rose again for us, remind us of our true belonging as the people of God. And in all our concerns about church and world, to know that we are your people. Let your light shine through our words. Let our actions be good and right in your sight. Bless us so that we may be a blessing to others. And now we ask you to hear us as we offer our private and personal prayers, as we open our hearts and minds to you. We offer all of our prayers, all of our requests, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Just before we sing our final hymn, I hope as many as possible will stay for the stated annual meeting. If you have to go, we do understand. So I think what I'll ask is that we have a kind of 5-minute comfort break, and for those who are staying, if you'd like to get a cup of coffee, and we'll kind of sort ourselves out, and hopefully, since most of what we need to know is in print, it'll be an opportunity to ask questions and the meeting won't be too long. But before that, let's sing to God's praise and glory. Crown him with many crowns, hymn 459. Christ, to love and to serve, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.